I believe that God is going to give somebody riches, wealth, and prosperity. Say amen. And I gave you some keys. The first key was your first fruit, tithes, and your offerings. Anybody who is a tither, a first fruit person, and constantly gives offering to God is bound to become, to have riches, wealth, and prosperity. Say amen. Then, if you favor God's righteous cause, the Bible said that if you favor God's righteous, there's a cause that is godly. If you favor it, you will be blessed by God. Number three, if you give to the poor, he that giveth to the poor shall never lack. The reason why some people who are not Christians but have never lacked is because they give to the poor. It's a principle that applies both to those in church and those outside God. Then number six, which is today, is looking out for your prophetic word. Looking out for your prophetic word. I believe that God will give you a word, and that word will lead to your abundance. Say amen. God will give you a direction. I feel like coming down. God will give you a direction, and that direction will lead you to abundance. The Bible says, please, the Bible says that the silver and the gold, they are mine, says the Lord. The Bible says the cattle on the thousand hills, they are mine, says the Lord. So God knows where the wealth and the riches are. He is the creator. And by the time he created Ghana, by the time Ghana was discovered, it wasn't that now before Ghana was going to prosper. We had prospered by the time we were born. God had put gold and silver and diamonds and oil and has given us forests with trees. Everything to make Ghana a prosperous nation, you know, has already been given to us. True or false? Giving us the kind of soil that can grow so many. We have so many fruits. Not fruits. The only problem we have is leadership. We don't have visionary leadership. That's our only problem. The people that we put in the office, know they lack vision. That's our problem. And the worst part of it is that we have allowed some foreigners coming into our country, destroying our water bodies, destroying our forests. You know that there are some Chinese companies who have built factories in the middle of our forest, and they are felling down precious rosewood trees, thick trees and things, and processing them for export. And our children are still writing on the floor. It's shameful, it's disgraceful, it is to our shame that we don't have enough furniture for our children, and yet Chinese and other companies. And I'm not afraid to mention Chinese people, because they showed it on our national television. They were processing the wood for export. It's lack of common sense. It's lack of what? Common sense. Because, my dear fellow believers, you can never go to China and destroy or mine in the water. It ain't gonna happen. You can't go to Britain or go to America and indiscriminately felling trees. Is it felling or falling? Which one is it? Yeah, felling trees. Because it sounds some way in my mouth. Yeah, felling trees. Can you go and cut a tree in America? Even a tree in your own backyard, for you to cut it, not cut, for you to trim it, you need permission. For you to fell that tree, is it good English? F- fell that tree, you need to write to the Department of the Forestry Commission. They will come and inspect and find out why you want to destroy that tree, and ask you to plant 17 more trees and water and take care of it for 2 years for bringing down one tree. It is only in this Ghana that somebody can come from Hucha, Huchuchucha, come through our airport, and they ask him, what are you coming to do? I come for holidays. Then he goes to Atiwa Forest. Does he know his way there? It means that somebody held his hand. Is it not lack of common sense? ADD prayer call. Now, so you say, Nene, is it normal? Look, the trajectory that we are on, if God doesn't save our country, in 5 years, we shall import water. In the next 10 years, we shall import trees. Because we are just destroying our future. Say amen. I was telling the first service that I went to Germany to go and preach. And when I entered the house of a German, there were three dustbins. And the three dustbins have been labeled plastics, paper, and whatever. So when you do your waste in your own house, you have to decide where this particular waste goes. You separate them. In your own house, you put the plastic to air, plastic to paper, whatever. Because these Germans have been told that we can recycle this and recycle this into that and turn this into that. So everybody, from now on, don't throw this thing away. Put it in this bin. Do you know that in your own house, when you misplace, if you put plastic into the other one, you'll be given a ticket. You'll be charged for putting a bottle in the wrong bin. In your own house. Wow, baller. So it is not that God has, that is why God is not answering our prayers. The prayers of, Lord, prosper this country. God is not answering the prayers. Because he has already prospered the country. By putting natural mineral resources in the land. It is greed, greediness, and lack of common sense. That is why we are poor today. You don't deserve to be poor. Say amen. Am I talking to somebody here? I'm just wasting my time. Yeah. You see, when you are somebody, I went to Italy and they took me to a certain factory. It's like industrial area in Italy. Very large industrial area. And the man told me that here in this place, they cycle everything. There's nothing wasteful here. The only thing they don't cycle is a human being. And that one is because of their respect for God. Otherwise, they recycle it. Nothing waste. Share your poo-poo. Can be used to generate so many things. Say amen. Your poo-poo is wealth for somebody. The one that is smelling for no, is money. Somebody is a rich person in this country because he turns our poo-poo into gas, our poo-poo into manure, fertilizer, and everything. The one that you go and put on the one that you go and do toilet at the beach, you know, is lack of common sense. You have to you have to go to toilet in a place where it can be used. do you know what annoys me? Cry. This is the part that annoys me. When we get our tourism minister, he goes to vet. In the vet, you know, they ask him, they got that thing, they got what? Appointment committee. Then you see somebody asking, I have a question for the nominee. What will you do differently when we nominate you as tourism, whatever, and all these things? And then there's a lot of people defecating at our beaches. What will you do? Then you see the person, Mr. Chairman, when I'm nominated, when I get the nod, I will make sure that there's no open defecation, whatever. And you say so many things. They nominate the person as Minister for Tourism and whatever. And it being more toilets, more open defecation. They say we cannot think properly. Open defecation at our beach, it destroying our tourism potential. Yesterday I was watching, I was in my study, and they show GBC News. And then they showed some part of the north, natural waterfalls. Water is falling from a certain rock, from a certain height. Boy, it's falling. People are bathing in it. Whatever. Did they say the road that leads to this place is so bad. There's no network. There's no anything. And that this can bring a lot of money because it's a natural waterfall. Nobody created it. God himself made water fall from a certain height. Be white water falling. Our tourism minister hasn't seen this. Yay, Ghana. More bread. Yeah. And a young guy came on the news to say that we are begging government. People must know this. Water from the rocks is falling. And people, young people have removed their beauty and they are bathing in the water. Hey, Bobo. May the next government be me so that I will implement. It's just a big joke. Say, man, I don't want to become president. So look out for that word, because that word, that prophetic direction, prophetic dream, prophetic insight, an open vision will change your life. That is why, you see, when you want to start a business, be very careful what is leading into that business. Because people have entered into business with direction. Either through a dream, through a vision, through something. God gives you a word, and the word in Luke chapter 5 to Simon was, launch out into the deep and let down your net for the blood. And then he did it. He enclosed great multitude of fishes. Another time, Jesus was walking on water. Peter said, Father, if it is you, bid me come to thee. He said, come. And he took a step and he walked. Anytime you take a step directed by God, you see yourself breaking through. May God direct you, give you a vision, give you a dream. Say, I hear you, Pastor. One lady said she had a dream and she saw herself cooking and serving people. So she feels that God is calling her into cooking, catering. So she started. Today, she's a big caterer, big time caterer. Say amen. People saw themselves sewing today. I was telling the first service, a certain lady was doing flower work on the veranda of the husband. The husband came and despised the flower work. That Uncle Page, my papa, being here, we have flowers. Flowers, the baby with here. Flowers, the baby with here. This woman, her flower work, she started doing bouquet for brides for free and things. Now, she's a big time event caterer. I don't know how to describe it. When you decor, when you invited that we are going to do a wedding or you are going to do your sister's birthday or whatever, and you invite her to come and do the decor for you, you need loan to pay her. I went to a dinner of a friend of mine who was 60th birthday. The chandeliers, the decor, the place, the ambience, the table we sat, there were four glasses, four, one, two, three, four, every glass for a different drink. This is wine, champagne, this is that. They have three forks, one, two, three, one for fruit, one for salad, one for this. Beautiful. The woman came around to come and check whether everything was all right. Then they told her, that's the woman. Some unassuming woman be. The husband resigned from his work to join the wife. The stone that the builders rejected, you know, it shall become the head of the corner. So get a revelation. Get a dream. Let God lead you, say amen, to start a business. And every business you start, if it's of God, it will climb to a certain crescendo. And you know that God will make you a rich person through that. Say, I hear you. Number seven, the pathway to riches, wealth, and prosperity is not a competitive, and it's not a competitive path. You are not in a race with somebody. We are not racing to become rich. We are not fighting to become rich. Everybody's path is different. Some paths are very fast, some are very slow. There are businesses that pick up slowly, and then at a point you become very blessed. There are some that start very fast, but it's also blessed. So you and I are not competing to become rich, because your wealth doesn't make me poor. Your wealth, it doesn't make me poor. There is room for everybody to become wealthy, depending upon the path we are following. So we are not fighting. We are not struggling. Don't say you are late, because eventually you will get there. Some people came in, some people's prosperity has come very early. Some have delayed, but brother, we shall get there. We shall what? Get there. The Bible says in Genesis 13, look at verse 2. The Genesis 13 verse 2, the Bible says something. It says, and Abraham was very rich. It means that God can make a person rich. Abraham was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. It is wealth. Say amen. And the Bible says something. Look at it there. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. You see, he was so rich that at a point, I want you to look at a certain scripture. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham called the name of the Lord. And then look at the next verse. And Lot also, say with me, and Lot also, say again, and Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Just say, Uno. You are an attaché. You didn't carry the vision. But he also became, he had a spillover of the riches. And then at a point, the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham started competing, comparing, and fighting. And Abraham came and said, there's no need for us to fight. There's no need for us to fight, because these riches came from God. So he said to him, and there was a strife between, there was a strife between the headmen of Abraham's cattle and the headmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt there then in the land. And then look at the next verse. And Abraham said unto the Lord, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my headmen and thy headmen, for we be brethren. In other words, God has blessed us, and there should be no competition, there should be no comparing, there should be no argument. So Abraham settled the matter. I said, okay, Lord, I'm giving you the first choice. Look anywhere you want and choose any part of the land and go there. So he looked and chose and chose the very watered garden on the Jordan, and the whole land before thee. Separate thyself, I pray thee. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart from the right hand, then I will go to the left. Then the Bible said, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zion. So the Bible said he chose the place he wants. And Abraham was not moved. When a lot leave you, do not be moved. Say amen. The lot who will leave you is not the vision bearer of your dream. He's Lot also. He's an also. If there's a word like that. And in the night, the Lord chose him all the plain of the Jordan, and Lord journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lord dwelt in the city of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. And the Bible said, but the men of Sodom, I want the place where it said, and in the night, the Lord appeared unto Abraham. Verse what? 14. The Lord appeared unto what? Abraham. And said, Abraham, lift now thy eyes. The man was, look at the description, he was already rich in silver and in gold. And now the Lord comes and says, lift your eyes. Look eastward, southward, westward. He said, wherever your eyes can see, I have given it to you. Same, including where Lot has chosen. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. It means that God can give you limitless riches, wealth. Do you want to be a carrier of wealth? Then lift up your eyes and see. Me, I believe that as I'm preaching, I'm sowing a seed, because I will reap the harvest of millionaires in my church. Say amen. Say amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:12, look at what the Bible says. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, they are not wise. So it is not wisdom to compare yourself with somebody. The Joneses family are okay. We too, we are okay. They come in a Land Cruiser, 8-seater, VXXVX. I come in a Tico or VIX, Toyota VIX. But I'm happy, because it's just a matter of time. I will also get there. So I will not despise and look down upon my husband or whatever, and say, me dem intim drugs, I come from sorry, because e dem kwasi asem. Don't say that. It's not a competition. It's not what all of us began from somewhere, but today our level don't change. See, I hear you. It's not competition. I'm not in competition with my twin brother as to who is rich, who is no. We all enjoy each other. Yeah. I eat his food, he eats my food. I wear suit, he wears suit. When something is nice, I buy it for him, he also buys also for me. We are not in competition. That is why we are the only twins in the world that have done the same work for over 40 years. It's in Guinness Book of Records. And the reason why we have survived, because we are not in competition with each other. I don't compare my children to her children. She doesn't compare her children to my children. She's a man of his own class. And we celebrate him in this house. I'm also a man of my own class. I'm also celebrated in my own class. There's no strife. There's no competition. When he's doing something in his house, I go. When I'm also doing something in my house, he also comes. There's no fight. Fighting is demonic and devilish. It's satanic. Yeah, to do the will of God. I'm trying to do something, and I told him that the thing that I'm trying to do, you are with me in it. I told him I'm doing it for the two of us. The one we are old. This is the place.
Yeah.
I said, yeah. One day he told me that this is very, very beautiful. This is the most beautiful thing I ever heard in my life. He said to me, I was born to assist you. Yeah. That's what he told me. He said, I was born on this earth to assist you. Because by this time, he would have said to me that, my brother, he would have come to me and said, you have led this church for a long time. So take a back seat. Let me also lead the church. No. We have never struggled over salaries. We have never struggled about anything. He said, I was born to assist you. Know your level and know your place. And by assisting me, God has blessed him beyond measure. Have you been to his house? Go check him out. Am I talking to somebody here? So, don't be in competition with your sister or a colleague from work. You have come here to fulfill mandate and purpose. And you will finish your work. There was an Olympic event, and it was 1,500 meters. So, you know, the Kenyans and the Ethiopians, they are runners. They are born runners. Hey! You see their sakura head. So they finish the 1,500 meters on record time. Became this one gold. And the race had finished minutes ago. Then there was this Zimbabwean guy who came from Zimbabwe. Charlie, the guy was also trotting and going. And he was far. Somebody said, far away. Very far. And at the point, the cameras showed this guy. Who was coming? He's the last coming slowly. Slowly. And then the cameras, everybody started cheering him. He was last. He was receiving applause, cheers. People were giving him water on the way, whatever. And he was coming. He was coming. He was tired, whatever. Then they pulled a tape for him for being last. So he did this. And he finished. There were more cameramen on him more than the person who became first. There were more journalists, more people around him. And they asked him one question. But you were late and very last. I said, I know. But you could have given up and quit the race. No. My government didn't send me here to come and quit. My government sent him here to finish. My government sent me here to finish the race. So it's not about winning. It's about what? Finishing. God didn't send you here to come and compete with anybody. God sent you here to finish the race that is set before you. Stop competing yourself with anybody. Run your own race. Finish it. Be happy. Be in your lane. You shall be rewarded for running your race. You will not be rewarded for competing with your sister. For running your race and finishing the course. Say amen. Yeah. Tell somebody, I have purpose to finish. The Bible said, The Bible said something in Psalms 32, verse 8. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. May the Lord guide you with his eye and instruct thee. Because when God is leading you, the path may be meandering, long. But you see, when you follow that path, it will lead you to riches, success, and wealth. Don't do shortcuts. Don't go and cut someone. Don't go for Sikedro. Don't go. You see, sometimes you can be in the same profession with somebody, and the person, me, I have friends in the ministry that I'm preaching, I have friends in it who are billionaires. They are very rich. And Chaba, when they are talking about their riches, you ask whether God has called you or not. Yeah. When you see that, and if you don't take it, you wonder, Lord, have you called me into the same ministry? How come this, my friend, is so rich? Very rich, very, it's like they are doing things like this. Me, when I'm doing something, I will struggle, sir. This is my friend. Oh, we are building this. Oh, yeah, we are. One day, one of my friends said, I have 40 foundations in 40 countries. 40 foundations in 40 countries. Yeah. It's a big, big cathedral in 40 countries. 40 countries. And when I meet with my friend, there's no jealousy. There's no enviness. I'm not envying his prosperity. The other day, I met him and I gave him a seed. I said, oh, this is from the church to you. I said, so, what for? He said, because of his level of riches, this one look like a drop. But you see, I've also sown a seed. Yeah. So sown a seed. We took a seed on behalf of the church. So this is a seed for you from the CEM family. We want to appreciate you. So what for? Steve, what for? I said, oh, it's a seed. Because we are connected to the grace of God upon your life. I'm older than him. He's very, very rich. But he was surprised. He said, Steve, do you know that people don't give me gifts because everybody thinks that I'm too rich? Then he said, Steve, do you also think I'm rich? I said, yes, you are very, very rich. You are very, very rich. Somebody, don't deceive yourself. He said, hey. He said, what do people say about you? I said, people say, you are a billionaire. You are rich. See, hey, Steve, the way people hate me, I don't know. His blessing provokes jealousy. I don't jealous him one bit like this. I'm also myself. I'm also blessed by God. God has also taken care of me. We are not in a race. We are not competing. May the Lord guide you. May the Lord lead you. And God will lead you into riches, into wealth, into prosperity. Say amen. Number 8. Do your best to come out of discouraging moments. There is no rich man you know anywhere who once upon a time was not discouraged. Who once upon a time didn't feel like quitting. Promise, you feel like quitting your race. You feel like giving up on your dreams. You feel that you will be discouraged. You will be tired. You will be exhausted. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, the Bible said in verse 1, John 6 verse 1, look at it. I'm cutting it short. Look at it. After this thing, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And the Bible said, a great multitude followed him because they saw him before he did miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. The Bible said, Jesus went up to a mountain and there sat with the disciples. The Bible said, and the Passover of the feast of the Jews was at hand, was nigh. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He said unto them, where shall we buy bread that this may eat? And he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Hallelujah. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, look at it, there is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Hallelujah. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. And now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in a number of about 5,000. If men are 5,000, then the women and children, it can add up. Somebody put the figure at 12,000 or 15,000. And Jesus was having 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He didn't despise that small beginning. He didn't despise the smallness. God will give you, every great man you know started small. Every great church started small. But with time, God will multiply it. I was telling the first service that several years ago, many years ago, myself, my brother Stanley, plus our 2 fiancés, because those days they were fiancés to us. My wife was a fiancé to me. Stanley's wife also was a fiancé. So we were 4. Then my elder brother Charles was 5. Then my mother. Then the Anyomis, Elijah Anyomi and Patrick Anyomi, and their fiancés. That was the church. That was the church. And Mrs. Ado and Mrs. Benson, they are all, that one is dead, this one is not feeling too well. But the point, what I want to make is that we were a very small group that we started. Stanley was the worshiper of the group, and I was the singer. I was the preacher, he was a singer. Sometimes we would sing together. After we sing, then he would sit there, and I would preach. One day I was preaching, I was shouting in the preaching. Then Mrs. Ado came and said, why are they? But okay, came dodo. Me too, I was under unction. I said, me, my eyes, I was seeing a large crowd. And I was preaching to them. We saw beyond that small group. The other day, one of my friends texted me some years ago, a picture we took. When I saw the picture, I said, hey! When I look at myself, the way I was long, very, very long. I think I was taller than the way I am now. And I saw Stanley by my side, we're all wearing the same dress, very tall, in the ministry. Very small. Small church with vision. And guess what? We used to say then that the time is coming, which I run services, which I have cars parked. Which I have first service, second service. Oh, say amen. Somebody, say amen. Somebody. Meanwhile, we're just 10, 12. The day my time, my wife don't come, just say, normally reduce it. Because myself and my 2 brothers were constant. But those who are not constant is my wife and fear. And then Martha and the other day, sometimes they all went at the bank, they are tired, they can't come for the Friday, whatever. They don't come. And then in the midst of the preaching, you know, then I say, look, a day is coming. We will build a very huge temple. People will come from everywhere. Sure, you may talk about Juma. Say amen. Then who was amen? Meanwhile, we're staying at Taifa. Today, as it come to pass, that small seed. Yeah. Do you know that we run 9 services on this compound? We ran in total 9 services on this compound. 3 English services, this one plus restoration service. Then we do 2 youth services. Then we do 3 service, gun service, airway service, and friend service. That's how many? 9. Then we have 2 Sunday schools. So 11 services on this compound after starting with just 8 people. So, my point is that don't despise your small beginning. For though your beginning may be small, your latter end shall be greatly increased. It means God will expand that business. In Kanchina, you are going to export it one day. The small business that you have, don't look down upon it. Because God himself knew what he would do. It means that God himself knows that this thing you have started, I will multiply it with time. The only people who don't succeed in this world are quitters. Those who quit. I've quit. I don't want to do it anymore. Wait, quitters, you never win. You've stopped it, you've closed down the shop, you closed down the business, you closed it down. You couldn't endure hardness, you couldn't apply principle, you stopped it. Those are the people who don't win. But so long as you are at it, do you know that when you plant a bamboo tree, it takes 4 years, so a certain crazy number of years before the bamboo to shoot up from the ground. Eh? And then in 1 year, the tree can grow up to 80 meters. Do you see? It takes time for it to grow, but once it surfaces, it's a Chinese tree. Once it surfaces, it can grow very tall within a short time. So your business is taking time for the business to take off, but once it takes off, you'll be chasing the business. Am I talking to somebody here? Yeah. So don't despise what you have in your hand. Don't despise your gifts. Don't look down on the smallness of what you have started. Don't look down. Ministry is like a seed. You plant it, you water it, you preach it, you talk it, you move it. Say amen. But before you realize, it has assumed international dimension. Last week I was not here. I was in Nigeria after the synod. Then I went to Nigeria. And they picked us from the airport. When we arrived in Nigeria, just after the plane, there were a group of people. Say, we have been sent by our pastor to escort you. So really, thank you very much. Then they took me over. Then I sat in a car. The car sat, there were armored cars in front of me. They drove it. Who were people and people and people, people then went. When we went, a certain gentleman came to say, "Oh, Reverend Steve! Reverend Steve, I saw an advert that you were coming into town. I've been playing your messages from Ghana to my hearers. You are the main preacher on Sunday in this region." I said, "Oh, really? Main preacher?" I said, "Yeah. And we want you in the studio." Me, I'm sitting here doing my work. They are playing my tapes, South Africa, here, there. The thing that started small, and I was preaching to 8 people and 10 people and shouting. The shout has gone abroad. They invited me for a live studio program. And people were sending text messages and things and everything. I was in a studio with my wife, with my protocol. And then they were asking me questions. The other day you were preaching, we played your tape, you said this. What do you mean by that? The other day you said this, somebody said this, whatever. Me, I'm here. Preaching my preaching, and somebody's life has been transformed. Somebody was going to commit suicide. Somebody was going to do something very bad. So your work may be small, before long it's changing lives. It's changing lives. The other day my media people came to me and showed me, Keto, they showed me the number of countries that my messages have gone. Ireland, Russia, China, whatever. I mean, I don't know where my messages go. Podcast, the podcast list. Blessing, views, plenty. I mean, when I finish, I go and find some watch here and eat here. Then me, I will chat with Stanley. I will sit under the tree and chat. When we eat watch, then we go and sit here. Then my protocol people were looking at us. I said, "Protocol people, go home. I'm talking to my brother." They said they won't go. They have to sit down with their wives. I see them dozing. Chaba. When we come out of the room, you see my protocol people watch it. They watch. Whether we will enter our cars and go. As soon as we head towards the tent and we request for chairs, they say, "Hey, I got a cigarette." Meanwhile, that is where we are cooking the messages. That's where we are cooking the plans. That's where we are cooking the ministry. Then I said, "Go home." They won't go. Meanwhile, we are taking plans. Anytime when we talk, when we get home, when I get within an hour or two, I'm calling him. Then my wife said, ah, but you just left him here. I said, yeah, some new ideas have come into my head. Then he said, okay, I'm sleeping and leaving you. Then I'll be on. I said, Steve, can you go to your study and go and talk to your brother? Because you guys are shouting in my ears. Then I'll go to the guest room. I will talk. He said, Chaba, we'll talk later. Am I talking to somebody here? Just say, keep at it. The thing is small. Talk it, discuss it, brood over it, think it before you realize it has exploded. Say amen. Overcome discouraging moments. Hallelujah. And then I've commanded you. What's the time? I think I'll stop here. Hallelujah. And beloved, no dream is too big for the Lord not to be able to do it. One day, one of my daughters visited me in the house. And she said something that changed my life. When she came, she said, Daddy, I want to see you. Chaba, she said, I don't want to see you. I said, what? Why do you want to see me? He said, oh, I have a small seat I want to give to you. So she gave me a small seat. I said, okay. Then I said, what do you want me to pray for you about? He said, I want to be the next Amazon in Africa. And I'm like, your thinking is too far. You say that you want to be. I said, what do you do? He said, I do online business. Really? And you want to be the next Amazon? Not in Ghana, but in Africa. With a small seed. So I said, what is your motivation? You know what Jesus said? He said, Daddy, if your dream doesn't scare you, then it's not big enough. Yes. See, if your dream doesn't scare you, it's not big enough. So anytime I meet her, I said, if your dream, I will say that if your dream that you continue, then it's not big enough. If your dream doesn't scare you, it's not big enough. May God scare you with your dream. And when the scarier it is, the bigger your God is able to achieve it. God bless you. I love you all.